Praise the Lord. Well, I want to talk about the Word of God today. And an explanation that goes along with the Bibles, the King James Bibles that I have given you today.
Ang mga padayag nining King James na Biblia, yan tayo sa kanato nini kapo.
And I want to tell you why we are so diligent about getting the Word of God to you. We need to know what God said and what God meant by what He said. Because, brethren, the only basis of what I believe is the Word of God. You see, if you go to churches and ask them what they believe, some churches will tell you, well, we only believe in the Word of God. We have a little group of believers, for instance, in America called Bible Baptist. And they will say that we believe absolutely the Bible. But what Bible are you talking about? And the devil attacks the true Bible. So let me explain a little bit of what happened in the translation of the King James Bible, which may be old news to you, but let me say it again for the record. What was it? 1511, I believe it was. And the motive of King James, while not a pure motive, his motive, of course, was that he wanted a divorce from one of his wives. And the Pope of Rome would not give it to him. So he said, we're going to have a new Catholic Church. And in the course of time then, he said, well, then we're English people, let's make an English Bible. So he appointed all of his scholars. And it was a good thing what they did. They had checks and balance, you know, each one would check over another's work, and they would check it over then to make sure, each one checking the other, to make sure they had a proper translation. And as far as I know, they used the Textus Receptus. Whereas the Catholic translation would have been based on the Latin Vulgate. And the Latin Vulgate came out of Alexandria, Egypt. And it was the Egyptian Christians that first began to, shall we say, corrupt the order of God's church. And of course, King James's men also had to translate a Bible that would not destroy the Church of England.
Mao na nga si King James usab, iya gyud gilipinsan og maayo kadto nga mga basta makuha kadto nga dili mao nga pag hubad, mao nang iyang gihimo dito sa England usab.
Which, if they had been absolutely diligent, yes, it would have destroyed the Church of England. Because, like the Catholic Church, the Church of England was out of God's perfect order.
So, kasama na diha ko, no, Katoliko dito sa England, nililin ka siya mahisubay na dito sa dita.
And so, you get words in the English King James Bible, you get words like pastor, bishop.
O na nga, sa King James na paghubad,
Lucifer, another word that doesn't belong.
Pastor, no, bishop, unya, Lucifer.
Any possible way a lamp is translated as candle. Unless it specifically says that there's oil in it, the word comes up candle. And so you do find some mistakes. Errors. But of all the English Bibles that we are aware of, we have to say that the King James is still the best that we can find. We know where the mistakes are. If you've been listening to me, now you know where the mistakes are. And when we preach the word, we are going to preach it the way God really meant it and the way God really said it. And it is the English King James Bible that is from which the Strong's Concordance was made.
Tungod kay ang kasagaran ni gikuha mo dito sa Strong Concordance ka ang pagkahimo sa King James.
As far as I know, there is not any other Bible, English or any other language, that is coded to the Strong Concordance.
Malalang sa inaibaluan, wala na ipang Biblia nga na iyan nakita ni nga gikuha gikan sa Concordance, kini lang yung King James.
Now, for the most part, the Strong Concordance could do what this interlinear could do.
Mauna nga sa pagkasusi nini, kining ato, kining diyan din niya, mauna siya makapahatag.
You could look up these words one at a time in the Strong Concordance.
Ato la, lila po na ito, largo ho, inahin na lagot.
But with this interlinear, you can find the whole chapter, the whole book. All in the literal translation. Okay? Now, before we get into the word, let me just give you another example. And I'm going to pass this out to you also. These new versions, these new English versions, are worse corruptions. They seem to have no concern whatsoever with the Greek, from the Textus Receptus from which this was translated. Just find a different English word and put it in there. And whenever anybody is translating the Bible without the Holy Spirit, the devil is working over their shoulder. Now, here's a translation. I'm going to pass it out to you. It's a comparison between the King James Version and the New International Version. So, if you could, how many are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got a couple more if anybody wants more. You know what? I guess my photocopy stopped after. I'm not going to read all this. There's too much to read. I just want you to see that the NIV has omitted certain things. They've omitted whole verses. Just left them out. These are examples of whole verses or parts of verses that are left out of the NIV.
Now,
Brother Nelson, you can go and prove. I don't have an NIV. I'm not going to buy one just to prove this.
Yesterday, I knew it already, but knowing that that NIV is, good to use.
Here are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 12. Here are 15 examples on the other side of where the blood is left out. The word begotten left out. The word virgin left out. You know, that Jesus was born of a virgin. No, I read it myself. In the NIV it says a young girl. Now, there's a difference between a girl and a virgin, especially today. Yeah. So anyway, this is just some examples, and I'm just giving it to you to form a basis of what we're saying here today. And while I'm at it, here's something else I've been carrying around for years. And how many did we say? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six. I'm going to go home a lot lighter.
NIV is mostly
the. Yeah. This is just, by the way, this is an outline that I made. Brother George was talking about the ministry of a shepherd.
Brother George,
and if you notice the very bottom note on the last page, that it was Brother Tommy Cook that made this. Tommy Cook has gone to be with the Lord. And I edited what he did in 2005, so that's been quite a while ago. So you can see now what the meaning of these, what is a shepherd, what is he supposed to do, what are the requirements of a shepherd. Brother George was talking about that this morning. And not just from the New Testament, but also from Ezekiel. Reasons for plurality of elders. In other words, it's check and balance that we're accountable. Snares that entrap ministers. Jesus the shepherd. Divine order in the local church. And down on the bottom of the third page there, that from Timothy, what it means, what these words are the qualifications of an overseer. Alright, so that's some things to pass out. Now, one more thing, and I'm prepared to leave this here. Maybe I'll leave it with Brother Edmar. But I have told you that there is a Bible. It's called the Old Schofield Bible.
Old Schofield.
The 19 1917 edition.
1917.
I have a 1950 some edition at home, but I also have one of these. And I mentioned this at a conference one time about the footnote that Brother Schofield, he puts footnotes in here, and by the way, for the most part, you must ignore half of his footnotes. He believes in the rapture. But I'm going to tell you one thing that Brother Schofield did right. And I want you to have the proof. I don't want you just to hear me say it. I want you to have the proof that you can look it up and say that it is in the original Schofield Bible. It is the word Nicolaitan. And I want to tell you, you cannot even find the right definition of the Nicolaitan in the Strong Concordance. This pastoral spirit, this church control spirit is so strong that even the best and the strongest of the men of old would not touch it.
Ang lipon kayo nga patukuranan kining gidumala karon sa mga maglain-lain mga grupo no reliyon.
I don't know why Brother Schofield was so brave as to put it in his Bible, and I'm gonna read it to you.
Yang basahon nato karon magsuon nga nung pusganon kayo si Brother Schofield dinhi.
Nicolaitan, all right?
May tungod sa Nicolaitan.
Here's the footnote. Nikeo, to conquer. See the word Nico and Laetan. It's two words put together. Nico means to conquer. And Laos, the people, or laity. There is no ancient authority for a sect of the Nicolaitans.
Wala kayo'y daan nga mga awtoridad nga naa diha sa Nicolaitan.
There is no evidence whatsoever that there was a group of people called Nicolaitans.
Wala di nimo makaplagan mga eksoon kini mga Nicolaita, no Nicolaita nga
if the word is symbolic, it refers to the earliest form of the notion of a priestly order or clergy, which later divided an equal brotherhood into priests and laity. What in Ephesus was deeds had become in Pergamos a doctrine. Now, let me just take you to Ephesians 4.
Nasa Ephesians 4 atong basahon.
And do you know what verse it would be that we're looking for, George? On the ministry.
The first part,
okay, here we are. Yeah, now here he has the word pastors in here. Nobody will touch that word. Now in the this Schofield Bible was revised in, I think, the 1960s.
Schofield, no, na revised siya mga 1960s siguro.
And the Baptist Convention in America came to the publisher because Schofield himself was dead.
Ang Baptist nga mga kongregasyon, no, ni ato dito sa mga.
They came to the publisher and they said, if you don't change that footnote, in Revelation, the Baptist Church will not buy any more of your Schofield Bibles. So they dropped that footnote. The New Schofield Bible does have other corrections. But they have them in italics. For instance, the candles are removed and they're all lamps now. And where it says son and it means child, and where it says child and it means son, those have been corrected. So the New Schofield Bible did make some of those corrections. But their footnotes about rapture are even stronger in support of rapture than old Mr. Schofield made. Stronger than strong. Yeah, I went through and I analyzed and I examined every one of the footnotes, and Schofield believed in it, but he didn't try to stick it down your throat. But that new Bible, they just stuff it right down. So the Bible itself is pure, but the footnotes of man are not always pure. Yeah, yeah. The Schofield Bible is a King James Bible. It is a King James with some corrections.
Because it's very dangerous for us. It's very dangerous.
Yeah, I just wanted you to know that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to leave this copy with you. That's an original Schofield, by the way. And I have one of each. My other one is, the pages are ragged and worn. And what were you looking for?
I didn't know that before.
Oh, the footnote in Revelation. Yeah. No. Now let me take you to the Word of God. Let me take you to the Word of God. To 2 Timothy chapter 3.
Ikaduhang Timoteo kapitulo 3 versikulo
verse 16. Now Paul is talking here. And I wish I had about 4 or 5 weeks to do this chapter with you. This is the chapter that perilous times shall come. We are living in the perilous times. This is the chapter that also tells that apostasy is going to come to the church. The church is going to rebel against God. The church is going to rebel against God. It is going to be a defector. Do you know what defection means? If you are a soldier in the time of battle, and you turn and run away from the enemy without the officers telling you, you become a defector. deserter. And you know what many military armies will do to a defector? They shoot him. So defection is a very serious sin against God. You cannot defect from something that you have not been there. So this has to refer to the church, because the world cannot defect from God because they have never been with God.
Ang pagtalikod may isoon dili ka na siya may tabo kung ikaw wala gikan din haatukod kay ang kalibutan dili man na siya ikaw matalikod yun kay wa magisa sa pagkakamin natin.
Now let me just look at verse 12 here for a minute. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution.
Ang tanan nga nagapuyo diha kang Kristo Jesus siya kayon maga makaambit sa mga kasakitan.
So you do understand that there is a price for the treasure that you have.
Ato mo samtang din yan, ano na kayo siya ay balos kung unsa man ang naa ka nato karon.
When I learned that these Bibles were on the way here, I knew that I had to come back again this time.
Ariang, idala kini ang balang kasulatan ng isyo na kay balos siya nga mubalik diha kun siya.
I need to know that you have the pure and the true Word of God.
Amen.
I cannot be satisfied until I know that. Verse 13. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And brother, would you read that in the... We'll let Lito read it.
Upon ang mga daotan o pagkaroning noon, musamot pagkaroon, manlimbong sa uban o balimbongan sa sila.
Now, he says to Timothy in verse 15, he says, and from a child... you have known the Holy Scriptures, which was able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then the key verse here for today is verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Ang tibuok kasulatan, isulat uban sa lamdag gikan sa Dios, o makuslano, alam sa pagsundo, sa kamatuoran, sa pagbatlo, pagsaway, o sa pagsundo ng taon, pagkinabuhi ng kamataro.
That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Sa ingon, ang nagalagad sa Dios, masanta pag-ayo o maandam sa panang maayong buwan.
Amen. Brother George was talking about perfection. God wants us to this mature perfection. Okay, now what does inspiration of God mean? Now, one of you that have this interlinear, look this verse up. Have you learned your way through it yet? Have you learned how to find Timothy in there? And tell me, read to me the literal of this word. Now remember that it goes backward. You go from right to left. If you can find Timothy in... Oh, you got to go a lot further than that, brother. You're in the Old Testament. We're looking for Second Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. I'm looking at the word inspiration. Second Timothy. Yeah.
What the book?
Oh, you got it in your computer. By the way, this same material you can put in computers.
Yeah,
go ahead. George is going to do it quick in his little...
Well, I'm going to turn it on first. So.
Yeah.
They're quick, but not that quick. All right, it's 2 Timothy, what's the scripture verse, Mark?
Alan has it here. Let me see what it says here. Being able to make you wise, salvation through belief in Christ Jesus. Every scripture is God-breathed.
That's right.
And profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that fitted may be thee of God, man, for every work good, having been furnished. See, now, you have to add some words to make Greek into English. They don't have all of our little words. They just have... But if you're Greek, you understand what it means. But we have to add our little pronouns and our things like that to change from one language to another language. But the word I was looking for, see, and this is something you can look up. What does this word mean, God breathed or inspired? But the breath of God. See, now in our understanding of this word inspired, you might be a man of the world and he's going to write a cheap novel. He's going to write about some romance. And he's, oh, I got an inspiration. You know, and it has nothing to do with God. But here, when it says it's inspired by God, it doesn't just mean God got a good idea. It means that all Scripture is the breath of God. You see, when God formed man of the clay, he made the animals first. And the animals he gave the ability to breathe air. But God did not put his breath in the cow and the dog. They have a simple soul, but they do not have a spirit. But to man, he breathes his spirit into man. And it became, he became a living soul. Alright, so it says all scripture. Now, this means everything that God said. You have to believe, brethren, you have to believe that everything here from Genesis to Revelation is inspired by God. When you start to say, well, you know, that's just the way they believed about God years ago. We don't see God that way anymore. For instance, I was having a long discussion with a man who is a practicing homosexual. He says he's a born again believer. He has been to a conservative Christian college and seminary. He was once married to a nice woman and has a child. So if you've been through a seminar to prepare you to be a pastor, you should know what the Word of God says. I said to him, how can you possibly justify your lifestyle on the basis of what the Bible says?
Saan man imo karon pagpamulipas kanang imong gipangbuhat kinahang di mo maski mo balaka sulatan.
I said, for instance, what Paul said in Romans, I think the first chapter.
Oh, panalita ni at matanaw sa Roma kapitulo 5.
He gave them up to a reprobate mind. Paul gives a description of what men were doing, burning in lust one man for another man, giving up the use of women also doing these unseemly things. How can you go to the book of Leviticus where it says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is an abomination? How can you justify that? He said, well, we were taught in seminary.
So
these are the things that the Jews believed about God a long time ago. So in other words, you do not believe what is in the book of Leviticus, that it is breathed from God. It was just Jews' ideas about their ancient culture. So when you can say something like that, you can say, well, I don't like the Bible, so I'm just going to leave out the parts that I don't like. I'll make a new Bible. So if the devil doesn't like the word blood, let's just leave it out. If the devil doesn't like virgin, let's call her something else. Yeah. So we can write a new Bible. And we can make a new God. We'll have a more modern God, you know, 21st century God. Yeah. So I was in a little airplane one time. I worked in Alaska for 5 years. And I traveled to these many frozen little villages. I was a public health nurse. I was bringing them health care and you know, medicine and this type of thing. And the pilot was a friend of a Catholic priest. So he put me in the back seat with this Catholic priest. And we had about a 2 or 3 hour ride. And I didn't understand kingdom things in those days, but I was brought up in the Word of God. I knew that the Bible was true, and everything in the Bible was the Word of God.
Amen.
And I also knew that the Catholics did not practice the Word of God. So I asked the priest, I thought, okay, we got to talk about something. Come now, I'm about 23, 24 years old. I'm very young. And I would not call him father. I said, priest, tell me something. I said, how do you, as a priest, justify your position in the Catholic Church with regard to the Word of God, the Bible? I said, for instance, your church doctrine preaches and practices things that are contrary to the Word of God. I mean, I'm 23 years old and I knew that.
So,
whatever it was, I had it in me then. Do you know what he said? He said, well, we hold two things. Two things are the foundation of the Catholic Church. One is the Bible, and two is tradition. And I said, well, obviously you don't hold the Bible to be higher than tradition. No, no, he said tradition is trumps the Bible. He gave an honest answer, and there's nothing more I can say. If you tell me that you believe that the Word of God is all inspired by God, then I can have an argument with you, then why don't you practice it? Now, I could have that same conversation with a Baptist. Do they have bishops? Probably not. A Baptist, an old Southern Baptist, asking the same questions, he would tell me the Word of God and only the Word of God. And if I were to ask him, then why do you have pastors? He would, of course, tell me it's in the Word of God. And if I told him that is not the order of God, it has been changed, I would only start an argument with him, and he would become very angry, and I would gain nothing. So what I'm saying is the word that we are bringing is only for those who have a desire for truth at any cost. We have taken the men of God to many, many churches. Young men have heard the brethren, the senior brethren, when I was younger, I took them all around the area to all the churches that would open their door. They liked the anointing, they liked the prophetic word, but when they examined what we were really saying, they said no. And they had many excuses for saying no. What it meant was, it's going to cost you something.
You
cannot build your empire with this message. You can only build the kingdom of God with this word. And God did not want man's kingdoms. He only wanted his kingdom. Boy, I'm not getting very far. I've only got the first one. I'm worse than George. All right, I'm giving you the heaviest ones first, the heavy weights. Now listen. If I'm the man making the NIV and I read this verse in Revelation, what is it going to do to me if I understood what this verse in Revelation is really saying? Chapter 22 of Revelation. Chapter 22. Come on, you've got Bibles, open them up. Sabano, English, I don't care. Chapter 22, start in verse 18. Verse 18. And we're going to let one of the brethren here read it in Sabano. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book.
Okay. Ako si Juan, nagpabilaan sa kanan ng mga kapatid sa mga propesya na anihan ni Libruha. Ang maglugang ni Lugangan sa Diyos ang ibangkan kanila ng mga kapalagman.
Amen.
Nag-isgutan ni Libruha.
And the next verse, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. Now, these are the last verses of the book of Revelation. The Revelation is the last book. In other words, of the book of Scripture, God finished his book. Now, I didn't say that God never said anything after this last verse. But he finished his book. Now, another pilot, no, not a pilot, but one of the doctors that I used to fly with in Alaska, he was a Mormon. I actually had a Mormon pilot too. One of the bush pilots was a Mormon. And the doctor's wife, of course, was a Mormon. And yeah, and the question, she came right out to the airplane, and she was such a boy. She was a zealous evangelist. She says, do you believe that God has said anything since the Bible was written? I said, well, surely I do. She said, oh, then I must give you the Book of Mormon. This is what God said. Well, now, I have done some research on, what was his name, Smith?
Joseph Smith.
By the way, Joseph Smith started his Mormon career in New York State. A little town called Palmyra, New York. And I went through there with a car one time. I drove through Palmyra. They have a monument there for Joseph Smith. But do you know what else is in Palmyra, New York? A monument to woman suffrage. The woman's liberation started in Palmyra, New York. So a lot of rebellion, there must be a devil there. many years ago I read an article that the Mormon Church had commissioned some of their scholars to do research on the foundation of the Mormons with Joseph Smith. I wish I had saved the article. It was in the Time magazine. It must have been 20, 25 years ago that I read this, and I never forgot it. Do you know that the fathers, these scholars of the Mormon Church, came to the conclusion that Joseph Smith was crazy? He was. He had hallucinations, delusions. He heard voices. And this is the basis of what he wrote down. The angel Moroni was a devil. But they didn't say that. I added that part about the devil. Alright. I'm telling you, I'm talking about deception. Not many people have the pearl that you have been given. We would lay our life down to know that there are a people who will have this precious truth. What was that? Where is that word in Timothy? Now it comes to me that I wanted to give. Where Paul, it was in 2 Timothy, wasn't it? Oh, here it is. It's right in front of me. 2 Timothy 2:2. And I'm going to have you read it in Sabano. Hopefully you have a good Sabano translation here. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Verse 1 and 2. Read them both.
Usana pagbalik un pinagi sa grasya nga nabatunan nato diha kang Kristo Jesus. So kaya sa mga tao nga kasaligan ang imong malungok na akong diwari at awangan sa kaganan aron kini si Kristo kabila sa wat.
Amen. Now, this is the true meaning of apostolic succession. The Catholic Church does not have apostolic succession. Paul was an apostle. We believe that the man that we learned the kingdom message from was also an apostle sent from God. Brother George and I, we sat in the ministry. We traveled with this man.
gikan sa ilang pagtuon sa sama niini nagatuo kita nagatuo sila nga usa-usa ka
the word, the revelation that he had, it may not have been new in the world. But it was a word that was needed new in our generation. We were people who was hungry for truth. And we are doing what Paul said to Timothy. You could say that we are Timothy's. We are giving this word to you, to other men. And you will take this word to other men also. And they will take this word to other men also. Do you see the importance of why there cannot be mixture in what we are bringing you? If we mix in something that is unclean or impure, then you will carry that on also, and you will begin to form, the church will begin to have another tradition that is not what God said.
Kung ato pa ni sambungan, sambungan, hayang nga mo ato sa pilingan to sa ubang niya mo, puro man po rulaing direksyon na dili usap niya po maayo.
And so, God would ask you the same question.
Maura niya po kinipagutan at ginoon man ka na.
Will you be faithful and will you be pure in the Word of God?
Pwede ba kita magiging po mahimo nga?
And the traditions that you have come out of, I you have all come from some kind of tradition. Some kind of church, all of you. I did. Brother George did. Brother Bert did.
Of course, yeah, Brother George.
Brother Duciel.
Brother Duciel.
We came out of some kind of tradition. Into a truth. The truth. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and was it life or life? Life. Not a way. Oh, the world says, oh, there are many ways. You know, the Buddhists, they have a way. You know, the Muslims, they have a way. The Hindus, they have a way. No, no, no. The way. The way. And in Thessalonians, it says that the man of sin will deceive people not with a lie, but the lie. So Jesus himself is the truth.
Right.
Not the story about Jesus. That is truth, but it's not the truth. Not the doctrine of Jesus, but the person of Jesus is the truth. Do you know the difference between the truth and the factual information?
It sounds like
the cross. When you ask the Roman Catholic, is the cross has the power?
Mm.
Yes. But they didn't know that the story about the cross.
But his cross is a little wooden thing hanging on the wall or hanging around his neck.
No problem.
That is not the cross. What I was going to tell you, the facts are, I used to be a rotten sinner. But that's not the truth. The truth is that God has cast them into His sea of forgetfulness and covered it over with His blood.
Amen.
And God does not see that I am a rotten sinner. Because He is the truth. Now, if I'm still a rotten sinner, that's what He's going to see.
Right.
Alright. But the devil is the founder of the lie. Amen. And the lie, of course, is what he told to Eve: you can be like God. You can be God. So if you can be God, you can make your own Bible. You can change the Bible the way you want it. One of the major news magazines in America, about 3 or 4 months ago, they have an interview with somebody they consider, I hate to use the word famous, I should say notorious. And they had a notorious homosexual that they interviewed. And they said to the man, do you still go into the motels in America what's the group that puts the Bibles out?
Gideon.
Take the Gideon Bibles and cut out the verses from Leviticus that talk about the homosexual. He said, yes, I do. Every motel, I ripped those pages out. And he was so proud of it. And the magazine was so, they were so proud of their liberal attitude that they would publish that. Now, if you've been watching the news, you saw that the Supreme Court of the United States made 2 decisions that were very favorable toward institutionalizing so-called gay marriage. I hate to use the word gay.
Same-sex
marriage. Yeah. Is it being done here too? How? I don't understand. When the majority of people don't want it, yet they push it through.
Yes,
that's not. There's no democracy. It's the devil. The devil is ruling the world.
Actually happening in the country, these lesbians and homosexuals, but they are fighting for their something like democratic rights.
They really don't want rights. That's not really what they want.
The lesbian wanted the Philippines to be like Gomorrah.
Yeah, they want to push their agenda on all people. They don't just want to be considered equal. They want this pushed above everything else. Now, somewhere recently I read, do you know what happened in 1776? If you knew American history, you would probably say to me, Brother Mark, that was the Declaration of Independence of the United States of America, declaring independence from Britain and beginning the nation of America. But there was something else that happened in 1776. And that was a man named Adam Weishaupt.
Adam
formed the Illuminati. And the Illuminati had six goals. I don't think I'm going to remember all six of them, but I'll give you a couple of them. One was that there was to be no more monarchy. In other words, get rid of all the kings. They were to get rid of all private ownership of property. The one I remember the most is that their sixth, I think, was that they wanted to destroy the family structure. You can look it up on the internet. I'm sure you could get the six goals of the Illuminati. And as I look at all six of these, the accomplishment of all of these now is being finished right now. This is the devil's agenda. By the way, all these men that had joined this Illuminati were also high degree Masons. By the way, the Illuminati has their symbol on the American $1 bill.
The pyramid.
Have you seen the pyramid?
I've seen that $1.
Yeah. And on the bottom of this pyramid, it says in Latin, Novus Ordo Secularium.
New World Order.
Novus is new. Ordus is order. Secular is not religious, of course. It's world.
New World Order.
New Order World.
Yeah, New World Order.
Yeah. It's on our dollar bill.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Father, back here in Bukon City, I hear that the government raided the Muslims there near the city hall. The Muslim fellowship near the city hall before. Maybe 1986 or 1990.
So
yeah. Then when they worship, they have no dress or naked. When they worship, and the wall of their fellowship is like very high. The gate is very big, very close.
Talking about masonry.
When they worship, they are naked. The Masons. I saw the police when they noticed.
Amen. Well, time is kind of running out here.
Time is
past running out. I have so many more things to say about the Word of God, but maybe another time. And I think you got the point of what I'm trying to say. Who said time is running out? I should tell you the dream I had. Okay. And this was only about a week ago. I had a dream that I was, there was this body. It was the strangest, it had human flesh. There was, I don't remember seeing any form, any head or anything. I just legs, arms, this type of thing. And there was a doctor that was working on it, and I was assisting this doctor. And I brought out a pack of new tools. I opened up the case, and there were scalpels, and there were hemostats, and clamps, and there was a chisel. You know what a chisel?
Yeah.
And it had a special cutting on the handle with a cross cut so that it would not slip. And I said to somebody, I'm going to need a hammer. Well, as soon as I opened the tools, the doctor turned to me and he said, it's your job. and he walked away. So I went over. This body was almost as big as this room, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I got underneath it. I went over here, and like you get underneath a car. And I had this very sharp razor blade. And I reached up into it, and I began to cut. And I was cutting. I know I cut hard against flesh. It looked like a leg that I was cutting hard, but no blood. And I remember there was grass, and there was dirt and things, and I just cut it away. But the normal, the good flesh, it didn't bleed at all. And I know that I cut real hard, because I remember there was a piece of grass, and I cut real hard like this to get to cut that grass, but it didn't do any harm to the good flesh. And when I got all done, I crawled out from underneath, and I stood up, and I said, "There, the job is done. Now it's time to put on the bandages and heal." And it was getting dark, and somebody brought out a big light that was powered by batteries. And I said, no. That's not strong enough. We need the electric light, which has much more power. And I looked at my watch, and the hands were gone. And I thought, what? I looked again, and the hands were falling down to the bottom. So I could not tell the time, but it was getting dark. That much I knew. So that was the dream I dreamed. And what did you say about time?
Time is running out.
Time is running out. Well, the time was gone. Time was gone in my dream. When I looked at the clock, the time was gone.
Midnight's approaching.
The midnight was almost here. Thank you so much, brethren. God bless you.
God bless you.